Matthew chapter 20, if you have your Bible with you this morning. I put my cofter up in too early. It's half gone. And all the people said, wow, not too many people said it. All right. Will you bow your head with me as we invite God's help in the preaching of His Word? Our Father, we've been in heavenly places this morning because of Your presence in this service, and we thank You. Our heart is full, thankful for Your grace and Your mercies, for the blessings You give us. Thank You for the comfort in the trials and in the perplexities and the heartbreaking times of lives. Pray that You would overshadow us even now, give us that anointing that is needed. Give the special touch and help and strength to me as I endeavor to preach Your word, and my weakness that You would be made strong. Give a clarity of mind as well as a clarity of speech, and give that anointing that is needed both to the speaker as well as to the hearer. May the word of God find lodging in good soil this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you this morning about the God of grace. The God of grace. It's one of the most difficult things in life to understand is grace. You know, it's hard to understand grace. We have such a hard time with grace in human interaction and relationships that we struggle comprehending or understanding the grace of God. You know, human reasoning. Bear with me here, follow me. Human reasoning so often says that we should retaliate when people do us wrong. It says to treat an enemy as an enemy. I'm talking about human reasoning. That human reasoning would teach us or to tell us to do unto others before they have a chance to do to us. But we can see that the God of grace all throughout the Old Testament, all the time contradicts that pattern of human reasoning. And the God of grace in the pictures of the Old Testament would reveal to us that there is grace given from God even in the midst of judgment. Judgment that followed backsliding, follows sins. And Israel seemed to be up and down in that. And we've said it so many times that the pattern of the Israelite nation and people was that they would sin and transgress, and God would bring judgment, and they would turn back to God. And that was the up and down pattern of their lives. And we see it quite often in humanity, even in this day. But even though we find that these people were backsliding and sinful often, grace always was shown to them when they began to seek after the Lord. They began to seek after the Lord. Let's take a little bit of time this morning and review a little bit of the prophet Hosea. Now, it's not a book that you want to sit down and read on a daily basis. You probably don't even want to read it on a monthly basis. It may be difficult enough to read on a yearly basis because the tenor of that book is sad and sorrowful and heartbreaking and full of God's judgment. But we find in the writing of Hosea that there are 9.5 chapters of what you could probably call fierce wrath and judgment and indignation until you come to a small soft spot in the second half of the 10th chapter. You know, I know that the book of Hosea isn't very long, but in this short prophetic book, we find all of this stuff that is talked about on the negative side of things, and judgment and indignation and wrath. And then we come to verse number 12 of chapter 10, where we can find a very subtle call to repentance to the people that God had just given them a list of wrath and indignation from Him because of their sin. He said, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you." What a little nugget of call and drawing from God in the midst of all that has been said. And then it seems like it goes right back to the judgment until we come to the last chapter. And that last chapter is really a short chapter, but in verse number 4, we find a picture of God's grace. Listen to the words of Hosea. As it records the heart of God, He said, "I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under the shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and shall grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon." Doesn't that sound like a beautiful picture of grace, that God had just painted a horrible picture of judgment and indignation, and yet now He's reminding them that if they will but seek Him and come to Him, that He will give them a great end. What a picture of grace. The following verse there in that chapter said, "Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found." If we turn over quickly to the 25th chapter of Jeremiah, we'll see the heartbreaking prophecy of the captivity of Jerusalem. The Babylonians were going to come in. King Nebuchadnezzar was going to come in and wreak havoc in Jerusalem. Now, we don't have the time this morning, but we can't understand fully what all this means without us understanding what Jerusalem meant to the children of Israel. This is not just a byword. This is not just some happenstance thing that is taking place, but this is the icon of their nation. This is the city that is set on a hill, a city that could not be hid. And the prophet is telling them that there is going to be a captivity of the people of Jerusalem by the hand of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. What a sorrowful time it was going to be. You can read several chapters that reveal the heartbreak of what is to come because of Israel's rejection of the Lord. But while Jeremiah is giving a very bleak outlook for the future, God reassures the wayward people of His grace. Jeremiah 29:13, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart." And that's a promise that we can bring over to 2022. Now, that works for us now as well, that when we search for Him, when we seek Him with all of our heart, we will find Him, because He lends an ear to the heart and the voice that is crying out for Him. If we jump over to the book of Daniel, we'll see that in the middle of captivity and crisis that we find God's grace in the portrait of four men. You know those four men that are listed in the book of Daniel: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You know them, don't you? Maybe. You say, "Daniel, I recognize. The other three, I do not." They are the portrait of God's grace through the heat of the furnace and the face of death by lions. It was grace that did not keep three of them out of the furnace, but kept them from being burned in the furnace. It was grace that did not keep one of them out of the den of lions, but it kept that one out of the lion's mouth. Their names might have been changed when they went to Babylon. Changed to Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know those last three names, perhaps greater than you do the first one. Just like in the Jewish names, you knew the first one more than the other three. While their names might have been changed, the motto of their lives remained the same. You say, well, what was their motto? Now, the scripture tells us that it was Daniel's motto, but it seems as though it was the motto of the other three as well. I believe that we can lump them all together when it said that they purposed, or he purposed in his heart, that he would not be defiled. They purposed within their heart that they would not be defiled. The God of grace comes to the cry of the repentant heart. The God of grace comes to the cry of the seeking heart. He comes to the cry of the surrendered heart. Now let's quickly move over to the passage that I mentioned at the very beginning, Matthew chapter 20, and take a look here and quickly wrapping up this morning this thought of God's grace, the God of grace. The first several verses of this chapter, Matthew chapter 20, if you have your Bible open, you can follow in the reading. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. Notice quickly, just quickly this morning, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto. Remember that Jesus is telling this story to tell us a story about heaven using an earthly picture. He's wanting us to have a grasp of God's grace using an earthly picture that was commonplace to them, that they would understand and give to them a deeper understanding and appreciation for this God of grace. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again, when he went out the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise, and about the eleventh hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. Now it's really unnecessary tidbit of information there about how much they received. What is important for us to understand in this passage about earthly activity in its relationship to the things of heaven is that they all received the same reward. The 11th hour laborers. I think that's the story. It's the 11th hour laborers consisting of those who don't have anything to offer to the kingdom. They have so little in their hand to provide to this vineyard. It's just a meager amount compared to those that were there all day long laboring. Time has slipped away and youthfulness is only a memory. So often the enemy convinces people that because of their youth being squandered in sin, that they don't have a right to the kingdom of heaven. They don't have a right to the grace of God. They feel as though they don't have any position whatsoever before the throne of grace. And yet God is giving us a picture of this grace that He provides, that even in the 11th hour He gives them that reward that is longed for and waited for. I have an idea this morning that along with these 11th hour laborers, it would also include those who would come with a brokenness indicating a uselessness. A brokenness beyond repair, it would seem, and that brokenness being presented to God is almost like a smack in His face saying, I am so broken, I am useless to You and Your kingdom. But when we look at the reality of what this story is telling us in the earthly picture, we have to understand that God in His mercy, God provides grace even to those that don't have much of anything to offer within their hands to this God of grace. Thank you, Edward, for the quote from Samuel Chadwick. It is wonderful what God can do with a broken heart if He gets all of the pieces. That speaks to me today. That speaks to me today. It is wonderful what God can do with a brokenness if He can get all the pieces. And so we see this story that in the end they received every man a penny. They received the same reward at the end of the day. You see, that is the picture of grace. Augustus Toplady in the song that we're familiar with, Rock of Ages, said, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling." You say, preacher, what are you trying to say this morning? Well, let me say it as succinctly as I can. If you are in need of grace, God has grace for you. If you'll come to Him in repentance, come to Him in seeking, come to Him in surrender, He has grace for you. Whatever your arguments are, whatever your condition is or your situation is, however it is that you try to form in your mind that there isn't any grace for you, remember that if you come to Him with seeking and repentance and surrender, He has grace for you. The songwriter penned the words to a song that we're familiar with, perhaps at camp meetings and revivals more than any other time. In the close of a service where the writer said, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark plot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come." Listen to this verse. "Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Just as I am. Just as I am, without, wilt Thou receive, will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because Thy promise I believe. O Lamb of God, I come." I'm talking about the God of grace this morning, and if you need grace, God has grace for you. Would you go ahead and play it this morning? I was going to just dismiss, but I feel a hesitation to do so. What is it that you're facing this morning? God has grace, specifically with your name on it. Let's stand together with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. There's an altar of prayer that you can find that grace made real to you on this Sunday morning in in the midst of the conflicts and the turmoils of life, the questions and the doubts and the fears. I'm going to have her play it through one more time. If you want to pray, please come and pray. We'd be happy to pray with you. Trust that the Holy Spirit continues to speak to our hearts. Help us to respond to His call. Thank God for His grace today. Thank God for His grace today. Praise God. If you have a need, God can meet it this morning. God is able to meet the need. Praise His name. Thank you for your attendance. Thank you for your attention. Trust God will bless you today with His presence. Forget our services tonight and the singing over at the grounds. Pray that God will be made real. God will be glorified. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Warren, would you dismiss us in prayer this morning?